when you are also the one that is the catalyst for the change in your life, it stops feeling scary and starts feeling exciting. It feels scary and you feel a sense of resistance. But if you just tell yourself, today I'm going to be scared and I'm going to do this thing that I'm scared of, there's such a sense of freedom.
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a $1 billion portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
I'm here today with Layla Hormozi. Just 10 years ago, she was broke, arrested, what, eight, nine times?
This is six, yeah.
Six times. She was arrested six times, and you were just beginning to start work as a personal trainer and out of shape. Now, I mean, look at her. She looks amazing. And you're CEO of Acquisition.com, together with your partner, Alex, with a portfolio of businesses that make, what, over like $200 million or something ridiculous?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. So I think the first question is, you've made a big number of changes from your physical fitness, from being arrested to not being arrested, and especially spinning up businesses worth hundreds of millions of dollars across the physical, the mental, the business-wise. What started to change first?
Weight loss. That was where most of it stemmed from. And I think that what a lot of people might not notice if they haven't been through multiple large changes in their life is that it's the same skills that help you change in one area that also can translate and help you change in another. I think it looks different and it might feel different. You might feel more nervous because it's new in general. But I think that in general, the skills that helped me lose 85 pounds were the same skills that helped me hone in on my work capacity, that helped me figure out what I wanted to do, that helped me then build Gym Launch, build Prestige Labs, Allen, Acquisition.com. It all stems from the same stuff. If I had to pick and really hone it down into one thing, I think that a lot of what I did when I was much younger was I acted on my emotions. You know, you're hungry, you eat. You want to go, you're anxious, you go drink. You're stressed, you do something to release the stress. It was very short-term minded. And I will say that I think that I didn't have a lot of perception of what consequences looked like. Like, I think when you're at that age that I was when I'm 19, I wasn't thinking of the consequences of what things could be in years if I kept doing these things. I think that I had this mentality that I was like invincible. It wasn't until there was a moment, the sixth time I was arrested, where my dad set me down. And basically what happened was, it was the last time I was arrested. They took me home to my parents' house because I lived in my hometown still. Mm-hmm. So I was close enough by that they took me there. I woke up in my old bedroom. There was a ticket that showed my arrest. And I just remember just like an immediate feeling of just horror. Like, holy crap, I'm at my dad's house. Like, they took me here, really. Because I hid a lot of that from him. And I remember I walked downstairs expecting for him to yell at me, be angry, just anything like that. And he sat me down on the couch and he looked me in the eyes and he was like, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do. He's like, but I just want you to know, I'm genuinely just afraid that you're going to kill yourself because of what you're doing. You know, you're going to drink yourself to death or doing drugs or whatever. He's like, and that's all I've got. And it was just so, I think in that moment, jarring, because I really thought about it. I was like, okay, what if I keep doing this for the next 5 years? What if I keep drinking like this, doing drugs like this, partying like this, hanging out with these people, eating this way, all of the things I was doing? And it was like, in that moment, it like flashed forward to like, what would my life be like if I kept doing this for another 5 years? And in that moment was when I was like, I can't, I have to change everything. And I think what it started with was recognizing that everything I was doing was to stifle short-term emotions, right? To not feel them. And I just leaned into it because what I realized, I remember the next day, I was just thinking, I was like, I feel like about myself. And I can either feel like about myself and continue to go down this path and hate my life as well and not be proud of the life I have, or I could feel like changing myself and doing something hard. And at least that yields me a better future than the other way. And I think that was what kind of kicked off everything for me. It was like, that was the moment that I turned my life around. And I just decided, I was like, I need to be a different person. Like, this is no longer acceptable. And I think that some part of me had known that I was kind of f***ing around. Mm. Like, I never envisioned myself being, like, I guess you could say, like, a deadbeat. You know, I think I always saw that I had high potential, but there was just so many emotions that I was feeling around that time. Stress, anxiety, frustration, anger, that I think I didn't know how to handle. And I just tried to suppress them. And that was how I did it, was like drinking, drugs, eating. And it wasn't until I realized that in the short term, doing all of that stifles the emotion, but long term, it creates dysfunction in your life. And that was really when I decided to turn everything around.
And those negative emotions you described, the fear, the frustration, anxiety, where was that coming from for you just to start with?
You know, my parents divorced when I was 9-ish, I think. I lived with my mom. She became an alcoholic very quickly, like watched it from like started going out and drinking more to like drinking every night to like drinking in the afternoon to like now I drink bottles of vodka in the morning, right? And I watched her spiral down. And in that time, I really feel like I went from being a kid to being an adult at a very young age.
Had to grow up fast
because she wouldn't come home for days. She wouldn't cook dinner, take care of me, buy me clothes for when school's back, like nothing. And so I was terrified to tell anybody. I didn't want to tell anybody because at the same time, I had this guilt of like, this is my mother who took care of me for 10 years. And who I love. And she was a great mother before all this. So I felt like this sense of hope of like, whenever she comes back, I don't want to have done something that would have hurt her. And I don't think I knew what that meant at the time, that, you know, more than anything, I think allowing her to remain that way was what was hurting her. But all of that, you know, I stayed in that house for 5.5 years until there was a day when, you know, she was drinking, I don't even know what she took in front of me, some kind of pills. And then I had to call the ambulance because she said that she was going to try herself. And, you know, my dad showed up and there was cops everywhere. And he was like, what is going on? Like, what has been happening? And that was when they took me and they brought me to my dad's house. And it was like, that was the last I lived with my mother. And it was interesting because then after that point, when I lived with my dad, you know, I think a lot of people would have been like, why wouldn't you have wanted to in general? And, you know, there was this odd sense of anger that I felt because I felt like once I moved in, now I had rules. Now there were things I had to follow. Now there were things that I have to do that I didn't. You know, I was taking care of myself. I was still going to school, getting good grades, doing all these things, mm-hmm. you know, making sure I had dinner, food, cleaning the house. I was doing it without anyone asking me. And so then to go into a house where, you know, he was remarried, she had kids, there were rules. I just felt very angry. And I think just at probably the world, it felt unfair. It felt like, why are we going backwards here? You know, like I already know how to do this. And the moment that I got out when I graduated, it felt like all this anger that had built up, I had allowed it to like fester. And then when I got into college and I moved out, it was like, all I wanted was the sense of freedom. And that was what I think compounded and led to all of the behaviors, because I felt like I had already chosen to like be autonomous, take care of myself and be responsible. And then when I was put in that house and then I felt like there was all these rules again, you know, whether they were strict or not, I didn't need them, right? I didn't need anyone to tell me what to do. I knew how to do it myself. And I think that's not a diss on them. I think my dad is like the best father, honestly, I could ask for. I think it's just that I had a very unusual circumstance. And so I built up a lot of resentment and a lot of anger, not just at that situation and at feeling like I was being treated like a child when I wasn't, but also then at my mother, you know, because I felt like this loss. I realized that the mother that I had for so many years was never coming back. And I felt angry about it, you know, and I think that I felt angry because I didn't allow myself to feel sad. And so I defaulted to anger. And then I got around people who helped me forget about it, because I think there were so many years, even just living in the house of my dad, or like, you have to deal with it. You've got to talk about it. You've got to go to therapy. I was like, I get it and I can deal with it. But at the same time, like, what, am I not supposed to feel angry because of these things that happened? And so I think that once I got to that age and I had that freedom, it was like, I just was acting on something that I had wanted to for a long time, but would have been, the consequences would have been too high had I acted on it in that household. Now, out of that household, the consequences are lower. So it made sense that I would do something.
It feels really doubly unfair to first be in a situation where you had to grow up so fast because your mom, the person, one of whom loves you the most in the world that you love back, isn't able to take care of you. I imagine you went through a lot of pain to get to a point and accept, okay, I'm just going to do this myself. And now to be in an environment where everything you had gone through so much work to learn to fend for and care for yourself, now someone's coming saying, no, actually, stop. And you're not going to do that. You said that the sixth time your dad sat you down and he didn't even try and tell you what to do. It was more just like, I am so afraid for you and what's going to happen. What was his typical reaction before that sixth time when these arrests would happen or he'd try and work with you? And was it like, hey, it's okay to be angry, or like, hey, like, let's fix this?
I was out of the house. So my dad actually didn't know the total amount of times I'd been arrested. You know, I hid as much as I could from anybody, really. And so I think leading up to that, like, he obviously saw I'd gained a lot of weight. He knew that I was drinking more. He would see pictures of me out partying on my Facebook or my MySpace. Like, it wasn't a secret. And I think he expressed concerns. At the same time, I still did the minimum I needed to in terms of school and work to not get punished. So I think when people are motivated by fear, they do the minimum not to be punished. They don't give discretionary effort or go beyond that. And so I think that's what I did, is I just gave the minimum effort for a lot of things to keep it going so that I wouldn't be looked at. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that I had behaved well enough for a long enough time that it's almost like you have goodwill in the bank. You know, like I did what I needed to when I lived in the house with them. And I think as angry as I was, I still did what they asked, if that makes sense.
Yeah, in a way that's even harder because you're being functional and now all this anger, where does it go? And you leave the household, you go and do all these things that help you forget for a moment what's actually occurring. After this time where you just hear your dad's afraid for you, do you remember, was there like a particular day or moment where you're like, I have a choice right now and I'm going to change it? Or was it just very gradual and one day you're like, oh, I'm not doing the same sorts of things that I used to do?
You know, it's interesting because I think now in my life, I'm probably in a spot where most change is gradual. But at the same time, I think that saying that change has to be gradual is a fallacy. I think it's just a matter of how strong is your motivation to change. I think that change is gradual when there is less punishment remaining as is. But when the punishment for remaining as is becomes so high that you just want to get away from it. And in that moment when my dad said that to me, compiled with looking at myself in the mirror, I remember weighing myself the next morning, suddenly the punishment for remaining how I was so high, it felt unbearable. It felt like it was no longer an option. Because I thought to myself, what happens next? So I've gained 85 pounds. What if I gain another 85 pounds?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been arrested 6 times. What's going to happen on the 8th or 9th time? Am I going to go to jail? Like, these are all real questions that I started asking myself after that conversation. And I thought to myself, like, no more. Like, I'm at a point now where this can really be put behind me. You know, this is not going to be on my record forever. I can lose the weight now. I'm young. I have time. I was like, but if I wait much longer, like, this is my life. And I think that was more terrifying than anything, that the next day when I woke up, I was like, everything changes. And I remember I had listened to Tony Robbins when I was younger. You know, he was kind of the guy you listen to for personal development. Yeah. He talked about, you know, shifting your identity. And one thing that I took away from everything I read about him or read from him was actually to not have an identity. To remain fluid and not identify with anything, because I really just wanted to feel like whatever I need to become, to be who I want to be, to do what I want to do, I will. And if I label myself as anything else, then one day it will hinder me. And so in that moment, I just decided, I was like, I no longer do any of this. And now what I will do is I will engineer an environment where it makes it harder to remain the same Layla that I have been for the last 2 years and easier to become the future Layla that I want to be. And that was really my mentality. It was like, how do I make it as easy as possible to become this person that I want to be? And that was what my focus was. I was like, all right, well, first thing I need to do is I need to get out of this house. I live with six other people in this like basically like college party house. Get out of there. So I went and I got my own apartment, which is like weird for a girl who's like 20, right? Yeah. But I was like, I know what I need to do so I can change. Then I got another job. So I worked two jobs and did school because I was like, I can't have so much free time that I'm going out and partying all the time. Like if I have time to party, I have time to work more. At least that's going to be more productive. I then started losing weight and then got a fitness coach. And so I got a trainer in the gym. I got a fitness coach online. And I was like, all right, cool. I have people that are going to help hold me accountable so that I will get back in shape. I joined a gym the next day. And then I threw out literally like, I remember I threw out all the booze, all the like weed and any other drugs. And I threw out all the junk food in my house. And I was like, I'm done. And that was literally in a span of 24 hours. And it was just having, honestly, I just remember, I wish I could say it was like more prolific than this, but I was just so freaking angry at myself. You know, I was never, I think in my younger years, was I angry at people around me for the situations, my mom, my dad, sure. But I think we all grow up and get past that. And I was so disappointed in what I'd let happen. And honestly, I think I was disgusted. I was disgusted at the place I was and who I was and looking in the mirror and thinking like, you're so much better than this. Like you can do so much better. You have no reason. You know, that was just the moment that I felt like I no longer, I think a lot of times what we do is we say, I don't want this situation to have power over me. And so we go in the opposite direction. You know what I mean? It's like we rebel in some way, mm-hmm. But rebelling means it still has power over you. It has power over you that it has caused you to go in any direction. And I think I realized that as well as I was like, I'm having, whether I go and rebel or whether I get better, like what I don't want to do is allow the past to dictate my current behavior. And that's what I felt like had been happening for a while. And that was what I needed to change. And I think that the entire process of pursuing change, losing the weight, stopping drinking, getting new friends, moving on my own, deciding that after I graduate, I'm going to move out to California, like building a future vision for myself. I think that most of it stemmed from wanting to create a better future for myself. And also the realization that all the emotions that felt so horrible and caused me to go drink and party and do all these things, I can use those emotions in another direction that can build a better future for me. Now, I think that fear gets you started. And then I think that a vision for the future and encouragement will keep you going. In that moment, that fear of what my life could like look like got me started. I think it switched in time to a truly compelling vision of the future that kept me going. But for the first few years, it was just fear.
The philosopher Nietzsche once said that humans go through three phases in their life. Initially, we're camels, weighed down by the expectations of others. Then we become tigers, rebelling against the obligations those place on us, actively fighting against. But eventually, he describes it as you almost want to become a baby in the sense that what a baby thinks of what they want to do, they just do it. And I'm hearing you say, weirdly, you had to move past even from rebelling against what someone wants you to do, whether you're doing it or not doing it, you almost have to remove the concept of here's something else someone wants me to do. Like, let's just forget about that whole framing to focus on what I want to do. Yeah. And when I know that, let me shift everything around it. I also love, I think like changing is the hardest thing in the world. If it were easy, you would have changed ages ago, or everyone would just change to become whatever they want. And I think it's hard because we as humans have so many emotional feelings that are usually deeper symptoms of why we are the way they are. And what I love about what you described, you didn't wake up one day and say, I am now a perfectly come Buddha who wants to be a success and I will do these things. You woke up and said, all the anger I feel so much for myself. I feel the disgust for myself and I'm going to now figure out the things I want to do, but I'm going to be aware that I also might not be great at doing them 100% of the time. So I'll move out of the apartment complex because I know if I'm around 5-6 other people who are still living this lifestyle, I don't know in that moment the choices I'm going to make. I'm going to throw out the alcohol and the booze and the drinks and the other drugs because I don't know if I'm going to end up using them again. I'm going to go sign up for a trainer because that's going to force me when the time comes and I'm especially sad, I will make the right decision. You're almost like aware that future Layla might not always feel as you are now and predicting for it, which I love.
Hey guys, if you already don't know by now, I am actually fairly active on LinkedIn. I may go so far as to say it's actually become my favorite platform. So if you'd like to connect with me, just send me a request or hit follow. And shout out those who've been sharing my posts and tagging others.
If we really want to change, the only thing that I have ever found work is make it harder to remain as is than it is to change. And so it's like, how can I make it harder to be the same person I am today tomorrow if I want to change? And then I figure out whatever I need to do that. And I still do it to this day. I think it's like, if you can put your back against the wall and put yourself in a situation where it's really unacceptable not to, I feel like that is such a hack for personal growth. I think that's why even like business, people, you know, my first business went from like zero to 27 million in 2 years. That was almost like back against the wall, figure out how to run a freaking business or you're going to be the reason it fails. And I didn't back out of the situation because I realized and I wanted to be the person who could capitalize on that situation, not just, you know, from a monetary standpoint, but from a personal standpoint. Can I become the person who can actually capture an opportunity like this? And I think that if we can look at change that way, then it makes it a lot easier. And I think that when you are also the one that is the catalyst for the change in your life, it stops feeling scary and starts feeling exciting. You know, when somebody else is the one forcing you to change, it feels scary and you feel a sense of resistance. But if you just tell yourself, today I'm going to be scared and I'm going to do this thing that I'm scared of, there's such a sense of freedom because I think that the reason that we really don't change is we're scared of a feeling. I know I am. It's like anytime I find myself not wanting to change, it's not because I don't want the other thing a lot. It's because I'm so scared of this feeling I might have when I experience the change. The worst thing that I was going to feel was a feeling, you know, like it's like I was young. What do I have to lose? Like circumstances weren't that bad. But it was the anxiety, the stress, the fear that I was scared of more than anything. And I think I felt an immense sense of freedom once I realized that. And then I realized I can experience all of those emotions and I'm not going to die, you know, because I mean, really, I think it's like you think of the widest range and the deepest feelings of anxiety and fear. And it almost feels like death in a way, right? And it probably is. It's just symbol. It's a, you know, signaling death to your brain, whatever it is. I don't know how that works. I'm just guessing. And then we want to avoid it. And so I think that now, like the mantra I have is just thinking like, I can carry my emotions with me. I can have them. I can feel terrified. I can feel incredibly anxious. I can feel so frustrated or angry, and I don't have to act on it. And I think that that just brought me so much of a sense of relief.
I love that. I'll say as a founder myself, I am more scared every day than I ever was before doing this.
Yeah.
And I love you're describing a concept where, hey, you feel that life-threatening fear, like I am going to die. I'm hearing you share a story where you're trusting that you're going to pull through. You've been through so much anxiety and worry that in those situations, faced with that choice, you're still going to find a way to persevere. And that's carried through. When I asked you from a business, personal, or fitness mentality, what started first, I'm seeing they're all tied together. I know from a business POV, you've done so many turnarounds. You've done so many pivots. You've done so many instances where your business had to change in the same way that you personally had to change and you went and did that. And I hear you describing the situation where you're saying, I'm going to remove myself from the situation I was in because I want to change in all these different ways. You are living by yourself. You've thrown out everything that might tempt you. You're not going to the gym. You're beginning to see a trainer. What was the progression of that? So you've made past the first huge inflection point in your life. There's another where you go from working to founding a company and operating on your own. And what was the motivation behind that change?
So after I lost about 85 pounds, I lived on my own and I'd gotten my together. I decided that after I was done my last day of college, I was going to drive to California and I was going to move there. And I needed to basically just work my way from the ground up somewhere to gather skills in business. Because what happened actually was I went and got my degree in exercise science. And I remember there was like a job fair. And I was like, whatever makes the most money possible and helps people, I would like to do. Because I'm, you know, I've always been the kind of person of like, of the mind of like, I want to help people and make their lives better. But I also am like, okay, well, I want to make sure that I am compensated for that. And I don't want a low paying job. And so I remember I went to this job fair and this woman told me, she's like, you have to go into physical therapy. It's absolutely like the best thing that you could do with this degree and you'll make so much money. And I was like, well, tell me what you're making. She's like, well, I'm 4 years out of college. I work 45 hours a week and I'm making like $85,000. And I was like, oh my God, is that supposed to be impressive? Like, I remember in my mind, whether for better or worse, this was my expectation. I was like, oh no, 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 no. I need to know how to make like $100,000 immediately. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why that was the number in my mind, but I was like, I was like, that's what I need. And so I looked at all the options and it was like, you will make a lot of money in 5 or 6 years, but it takes this long to get there. You have to put this much more money to school. You have to work this many jobs. And I was like, And so then I was like, you know, for so much of my life, I've been influenced so much about, you know, from my dad of saying like, you should look into starting your own business and look into entrepreneurship. And like so many people in my family, on my dad's side, are entrepreneurs and they had insane empires. And so I was like, you know, I think that's the route I've got to go. And I think it's going to be harder now. I'm going to make less money now, but I think I'm going to make more money later if I just kind of bite the bullet and acquire the skills. And so drove out to California in my beat up Prius, found a spot on Craigslist in Costa Mesa, got that apartment. And then I walked to every gym within walking distance and I just applied. And I was like, I'm going to start a gym. And what I knew was I knew exercise science. I didn't know business. And so I got a job and then I actually got accepted at like 5 gyms. And so then I was like, well, which one can I make income the fastest? Because I don't have much money saved and I have a very high rent now that I moved to California. It was like 4 times the rent of Michigan. It was 24-hour fitness. And so I took the job there and that was where I learned sales. And so it was probably like after the point of turning my life around, that initial like few months, this was like the next most uncomfortable point in my life because feeling like my bank account's going down. I have never sold before and now I have to sell to eat and I have this lease that I just signed for a year. It just felt like a lot of pressure. And that was, I would say, like the foundation of a lot of my business skills was made in that first year and a half working there. Because I had to learn how to get referrals. I had to learn how to sell. I had to learn how to manage clients. I had to learn how to prioritize my work, how to manage my own schedule, how to get work done on the weekends at night when I'm training people all day. I had to learn customer service skills. And so I'm really grateful for it because it was like almost like a boot camp in business. But I came to a point where I said, I've learned what I need to learn here. And I think I need to understand more of how do you start a business? And then how do you market? Because that was one thing I could never learn there. I would go get my own clients walking around Whole Foods or going to business to business. Yeah, that was how you did it. And, but I didn't know how to generate clients on demand. And so I ended up going to a private training facility. I heard that the owner was a fantastic leader and business person. And so I was like, I can learn from this guy. And so I went there, took all my clients, also started training because basically you had to also train his, you know, like group sessions there.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then helping with marketing, sales, pretty much everything. So it's like, I got to do pretty much everything there and he was teaching a lot. And when I was there, I was doing that. And I also started dabbling in online fitness. And fast forward about 6 months, a woman that I met online had a successful online training business. This was like when it first started. She propositioned me to be her partner. And basically we go in on this business together. Mm. At the same time, I'm working at this gym. The guy has said, like, you can eventually run the thing. I can give you equity. And then another part of me is thinking I could start my own gym. So I have like these three paths I'm picking from. And I'm like, what one is going to get me the most experience in business the fastest? And I wasn't quite sure. And then oddly enough, I went on a date with this guy and I met him on Bumble and turned out to be Alex, who's now my husband, who on that first date, I told him where I was at with my career because, you know, it was clear that he really liked talking about work. I really liked talking about work. We're both very focused on our careers. And the first thing he said to me when I said, like, this is kind of the fork in the road I'm at, he said, I don't think you should do either of those things. And I was like, well, what would I do? He was like, I think you should work for me. And I was like, bro, like, we're like on our first date. And I was like, let's just keep dating. This is weird. And so we went on a few more dates and he kept saying, he was like, let me leapfrog you. Like, let me show you. You're going through the same thing I did 3 years ago. I'm 3 years ahead of you. Like, you can just skip all this. You don't need to do this. You don't need to open a gym. Just learn from me. And I was like, I don't know. Like, sounds kind of sketch. And so I remember one day I went to his house and there was this binder on the table and he had said, I want to start this business called Gym Launch and I would like you to do it with me. And I was like, I don't think so. But let's just keep dating and see how it goes. And so I went to his house. There's this binder and I was like, what's this? And he was like, that's the business. And I opened it and it was the formation documents for the LLC. And I was like, oh, you're serious. He was like, I'm just waiting for you to come join me. And I was like, ugh, no. So he's like, all right, well, I've got to get this thing started. So I'm going to go launch this guy's gym. I'll be back in like 2 weeks. Can you like help me with a few things while I'm gone? I was like, okay. I remember like he asked me to like do some stuff, like pick up money from his gyms and like deposit in the bank and just shit that he would be doing as an owner. And I'm doing that while I'm like doing my job. But I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm so young. He keeps asking me and I know he's serious. And I'm like, what do I have to lose at this point? Like, I feel like I could learn so much. And he came back and I remember he had like this giant stack of paperwork and I was like, what's this? And he was like, these are the contracts from all the people that I signed up at the gyms. And I was like, oh my gosh, amazing. What are you going to do with the paper? He's like, oh no, I haven't processed any of the payments yet. I was like, what the I was like, what? He's like, ah, somebody else always does that. And I was like, Jesus. So I was like, all right, we need to process these. This is important. And so we sat down and I remember he like poured me a drink and he's like, we'll process these and then we can go on a date. And I was like, okay. And we ended up processing the money. It ended up being like over $100,000. And I remember just like in the moment, I was like, oh, this is for real. He was like, yeah, this is for real. And I was like, I think I should do it. And it wasn't the $100,000. It was the fact that he was serious about this. You know, what I think a lot of people lose context on is like, he had six gyms. He also had like two agencies he was doing. And so like, I was just like, this guy's got like eight businesses happening right now. Like who, like, are you really going to stick with this gym launch one that you want to start? But I felt like watching him go out, fly out there, do it for a few weeks, completely kind of abandon the other businesses. It felt like, oh, okay, you're committing to it. And so within 2 weeks, I told all my clients, I quit my job and I just kept online clients I had. And then I flew out to Baltimore, Maryland and did my first, what we call like gym launch ever. And that was, I would say the second biggest change or pivotal moment for me was quitting my job and leaving and doing Gym Launch, because I remember it was like such a sense of excitement, but terror at the same time. And even more so that I don't think Alex, and he, we've talked about this in hindsight, like he didn't realize how hard it was. Like he had quit his job before. Mm-hmm. He had never, when I remember the day that I quit my job and I came and I told him, I was like, I told him my clients and I quit. And he was like, oh, that's great. Do you want to go to Chipotle? You know? And I was like, I remember I felt like, and he told me now, he's like, I was so wrapped up in my own stuff. I remember like, he's like looking back on that, like I barely said a word.
Wow.
And it was such a, like a crazy moment for me. So it did feel like a little weird because we'd known each other for 5 weeks. I could tell he was disinterested in a lot of things I had to say at that point. When it came to like he was so focused on what he wanted to do with this business that it was like, I think there was no room for empathy for anything I was going through, if that makes sense, which I understood. And I was also like, you know what, whether this works out or not, it's worth trying, because like, what's the worst that happens? I end up on my dad's couch. I'm like 23. Like, nothing horrible is going to happen to me. I can figure this out. I can go get clients again, build up my roster, you know, and then eventually get back on the path I was on. And, you know, I think it just sounded, despite all the fear, so much more exciting to take the chance and do it.
I'm hearing this repeated story where the moments you are the most afraid, I've been arrested six times, I'm selling and doing sales, I am thinking between partnering with this woman who wants to do with me, or working with this guy who'll give me equity, or going and launching my own gym, or quitting my job after meeting a guy off Bumble and he's asking me to join him 5 weeks later. You've described three moments where you're just like terrified, and you have these really big visions and goals of, how do I become as financially stable as possible? How do I learn as much as possible? Plus this added element of repeatedly going, what's the worst that can happen? And you always have chosen the choice that's scarier. Every single one of those three cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm being arrested. I'm out here for the first time. I need to sell. I'm going to go quit my job for a dude I've known for 5 weeks. You're literally choosing the scary choice.
I think I'm just more scared of what my life will turn out like if I don't.
I remember you once told me when we met at dinner that your dad once sat you down and told you to always make the opposite choice that he would make.
He did. You know, it's funny because I think that when he said that to me, he was joking, but I've told him since, I don't think he realized, like, he made a comparison in terms of, and this was at a point where he had been at the same job for a long time and I think unhappy at this point in his career. And he mentioned, like, don't be like me and like stay with the same thing, like take risks and, you know, do the stuff like I wish I had done. And then he kind of like shook his head and he's like, you should just do the opposite of what I say, like joking. But I don't think he knows that in that moment, I was like, that makes a ton of sense. I should think that because, you know, I think my dad has actually changed a lot since then. But in that moment, looking at where he was, I think that he expressed a lot of discontent with himself for taking the comfortable path, mm-hmm. you know, because of fear of the change. And I think that the happiest I always saw my dad and have since has been when he has taken the path that seems so scary, but then turns out to be the one that is best for him. And I think that just, it goes to show, like I like to say it, but it's like our brains are built for survival, not success. And so whenever I feel just utterly terrified, I just remember, I'm like, this is normal to feel this terrified. Your brain is not set up to help you succeed. It's set up to help you survive. And you need to prove it wrong. You know, because I think that a lot of people think, oh, you must be able to, like, you know, people see people on social media and they think you must have something I don't have or not have something I have or whatever. I'm like, no, pretty sure I'm terrified too. I've just practiced more than somebody else and I have more experience acting despite feeling terrified. And I think that because of that, I have just seen it pay off. And then I have more reason to do the next thing that's scary again, because it's paid off this time, paid off the second time. Why wouldn't it pay off the third? And so I think that it's just, in the end, I think that, again, it kind of ties back to acting despite how we feel. Like, I think a lot of the times our feelings are there as signals, but like, how important really are they? How useful are they? And I think that they're useful in that sometimes you should do the opposite of what they're telling you to do.
Yeah, because we're primed, as you said, in caveman days. How do I just literally stay alive?
Right.
Which is not enough today.
It's like, don't start the business. This job is great. Don't go start the business. You could die.
You grew up having to learn how to survive by yourself, in part because of the situation with your mom. And with your dad, you're growing up seeing this guy is not happy. And in a way, you're sort of describing the two of them where you have this incredible, oh, if I'm going to be, I know how to get out of this, combined with this, and I can't just live a life where I'm not happy. Like $85,000, 45 hours a week, I'll let you know, like $100K, like working for this gym. No, let me go start a new business. I also remember you told me you once shared this with your dad, saying this is one of the most meaningful moments in your life to hear him tell you, Layla, take the choice that I wouldn't. I remember you said he didn't even remember saying this to you.
No, he didn't. But I think in hindsight, that's like one of the greatest gifts that he could have given, because I think it's just so often, like I even find myself now still, right? It's like, it doesn't get easier. You just become more experienced at doing it, which is like really managing, learning how to cooperate or manage your mindset when you are trying to make a change, you know? And I just know for me that I've just found that I just lean into it.
Yeah.
I completely lean into it. I tell myself I'm going to be afraid. I tell myself I'm going to be anxious, but I don't not do it. You know, it's like, you can be terrified. You can be incredibly anxious. You can make a fool of yourself, but you're going to do it. And I think it's just confronting the acceptance of those feelings that has allowed me to continue to do things that require facing fear, is just a greater acceptance for those feelings and the fact that I can't control them. I think I don't try to control my thoughts. I don't try to control my feelings. I just don't judge myself for them so much. You know, I think that a lot of people, they cast a lot of judgment on themselves for feeling so scared to quit a job, to start a business, to do anything like that, to post on social media, whatever it is. And they see people who do it and then they think they must not feel those things. But it's not that. I'm sure that everyone feels those things. It's normal. It makes sense. People just learn how to act despite those.
I love that.